Amen. Let's stand and sing some praise.
Coming back.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name.
To trust you with our lives each and every day, and may we honor and glorify you with all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be seated. Back in April, Jessica, our daughter, Keith, told us there was going to be a baby. We're going to be grandparents again. And then she was diagnosed with cancer, and we brought her to you and asked for your prayers. And then we mentioned about baby Kay. And prayed for the baby to be delivered and grow and survive. And in October, little baby Kay came out as baby Luke. Baby Luke is sleeping. But they come down today to be able to dedicate little Luke to the Lord. And we are so thankful that you are here to be able to partake with that with us. Why don't you come around out front here. Children are a gift from God. The Psalms proclaims that sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. And as believers, we are called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. God, in His goodness, gives children as gifts to parents. Parents not only have the awesome responsibility of caring for this gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift. Because children belong to God and are given as grace gifts to parents, it is only proper and appropriate that children be dedicated back to God. We are told in 1 Samuel that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. And in Luke, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him before the Lord. In the same way, Jessica and Keith bring Luke G. Kelvitis, presenting first and foremost yourself and then your son to the Lord our God. I call your attention to this portion of Scripture. In Deuteronomy, it tells you, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." Keith and Jessica, Luke is a very blessed child because of the prayers that you are praying for him as found in Colossians. This is their prayer to Luke. "And so from the day we heard about you, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you, Luke, be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Jessica and Keith, love God with every ounce of fiber that is within you. And in doing so, teach Luke to do the same. As you love God and one another, you will model before Luke a wonderful love that God will have for him and that Luke will want for himself. Keith and Jessica, by coming forward before God and his people, do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and your son to the Lord?
We do.
If so, you're going to not repeat after me, but you're going to respond to this. "Having come freely, I ask now that you enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and his people, so that Luke may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you and Keith, Jessica, vow by God's help and in partnership with the church to provide Luke a Christian home in love and peace, to raise him in the truth of the Lord's instruction and discipline so that he may not be led astray by false teachings, false doctrines, and to direct his feet to the sanctuary, to restrain him from following evil associates and habits, and to encourage him to one day trust Christ as his own personal Lord and Savior?"
We do.
Modeling this kind of love cannot be done alone. It requires help from others. And for this reason, Keith and Jessica, call upon your church and your family for help. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the child in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Luke G. Kelvitis, on behalf of your parents and this congregation, we dedicate you to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, we lift up this young family to you. We lift up Luke to you. And we ask, dear God, that you would certainly bless him, anoint them with your presence, with your goodness, with your mercies, and that you would guide them and teach them the paths that they should travel, and that indeed one day Luke will turn his head heavenward and invite Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that he would be the servant of the Most High God. Direct his paths to do your will and help him all the days of his life. Thank you for all you're going to do. We certainly thank you for giving him to all of us. And Lord, we give him back to you because you are the great Heavenly Father, the Creator, the lover of our soul, the lover of Luke, who we cannot love as much as you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, there are many people here this morning. They come concerned about different things in their lives, burdens that they carry, help that they need, praises that they offer unto you. We ascend the very throne of grace. And because you know each individual here, you know their deepest need. You know the desires of their heart. And may their desires link up with your will, and that they would be able to see your handiwork in all of their requests that they have for you. Help them with their daily walk. Strengthen them by your power. Encourage them along their journey. And help us to be able to be faithful, serving you always. And Lord, we certainly pray for our country and ask that you would help the leadership of our country to make good, right, positive choices that would benefit all people. That they would glorify you, and that's a tall order, but that they would come to their senses and see that Jesus Christ is the answer to all of life's problems. And if they would implement him into their decision-making, a lot of things would be cleared up. Thank you for the baby bottles that are behind me, the representation of life, and the service that people are doing to help babies, children, to be able to grow. And Lord, we pray for the Endless Mountain Pregnancy Agency, that you would meet all of their needs, and that women who are carrying the child and men that are represented, God, would realize that life begins at conception, and that there would be life for that child. And you can stir their hearts to make a decision that would honor and glorify you and give life to that little baby. So again, we praise you. Our hands are tied, but you are unlimited, and we commit them to you. And I thank you again for the answers that these folks will see as they trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, indeed, we thank you that we can trust you, even with our finances, our monies. And Lord, sometimes it gets pretty thin, and we are worried, and we get concerned, and yet you can help us to be at peace, and realizing that all these things shall come to pass. So I would pray that you would bless those who could give and those who couldn't at this time and had a desire to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand and sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," number 43.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
You may be seated. Kids, go to junior church.
This is the last Sunday in our series, Who is this God of Israel? We'll be turning to Genesis chapter 22, looking at the account there. But before I do that, I want to just remember where we came from with this God of Israel. And Pastor Zach opened up the series in Isaiah, where it talked about God being holy and pure. And the cherubims flew, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And in the midst of His holiness and His pureness and His blamelessness, Isaiah got a glimpse of himself as we get a glimpse of ourselves. And his response should be our response, "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips." Just think of your thought patterns, what you think about, maybe what you think about people at times. And we realize how wretched we are. And the seraphim took a hot coal, burning coal, and touched Isaiah's lips, and he became pure. It was as he was redeemed from that. And God said, "Who shall I send? Who will go before me?" And Isaiah said, "Send me, I will go." And then we looked at the Egyptians, when the Israelites were held captive down there, and this God of Israel, being all-powerful, was brought on the plagues, and each plague there was just showed him that he was above and beyond any God there is. And he was all-powerful, and he delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. And then last week we looked at Elisha, him and his servant, when they were surrounded by all the soldiers. And the servant was fearful. And he called to Elijah and said, "Come look, we're surrounded." And Elisha prayed and said, "Open his eyes up, God, that he may see." And when the servant opened his eyes up, he could see all the chariots of fire around the enemy. And realized that indeed they were going to be okay. And that is the same today. If God so desires, there are chariots of fire around us. Angels there to protect us. And at His bidding, they could deliver us out of anything. Well, today we're going to see who this God of Israel is as the provider. And Genesis chapter 22 gives us that account of Abraham going up on Mount Moriah to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. What a task. What an order to have to follow. And we know that Isaac was a teenager at the time, and it still baffles me as I read that account, the obedience of him. Willing to go up, not kicking and screaming, but willing to go on up. We have to remember that Abraham did not come up with this decision overnight. Through many years of God's faithfulness, through many years of His protection and His provision, he learned that he could trust this God of Israel, even with his only son. He is the provider. Abraham's life can be summed up by his characteristics. Think about this list of attributes pertaining to Abraham. He lived a life of obedience, unselfishness, courage, incorruptibility. His generosity preceded those of his peers, and he was a man of prayer. We pick up the account in Genesis 22 with verses 8 through 14. But before I read that, Lord, I just ask for your fresh anointing, that each person listening here this morning would grasp how you can provide for them, and that you would help us to glean truth to be able to live by today. So help our eyes to be opened up this morning. Prior to verse 8, Isaac speaking, they're headed up the mountain. And Isaac says, I see the fire and I see the wood, which basically means I see the lighter that you're carrying. It was probably a flint back then. And I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice for you're going to put on the altar? Where is the sacrifice? And in verse 8, Abraham answered him, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham looked, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns, and he went over and he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, The Lord Will Provide. To this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The duty of every Christian, the duty of every believer in every age, is to trust God and obey His commands. This was true in Israel, and it's true for the church today. When you place your faith in Christ, God commissions Himself. God puts Himself at our disposal, so to speak, to protect, to provide, and to care for us. That's what He will do. And God always provides for His children, though not often in ways that we expect. The challenge for us is to see His provision and care even when it's different than our expectation. We have expectations, don't we? And when those expectations are not met, what happens? You get discouraged, you get mad, you get angry, you wonder what went wrong. Unmet expectations leads to that. So we have our desires, we have our prayer requests, we lift those up to God, and we expect the answer that we want. And then when God doesn't answer it that way, we may get ticked off. So we have to come to realize that God may not answer the way that we want Him to. John Piper says, God is always doing 10,000 things in your life. That's a lot of things. But you may be only aware of three of them. And over again, Jesus' disciples missed what He was doing right in front of them. They missed the point of the miracles. They missed the lessons that He was teaching them, which should give us hope for our own lack of clarity today. If the disciples messed up, who could see Him and walk with Him, and we live by faith and we miss it, it should encourage us. So here are four encouragements about how God provides and cares for us. Only four. God may provide differently than what we expect. You can almost bank on that. The Israelites escaped captivity in Egypt, only to face the challenges in the desert. And one of the biggest challenges for that large group, which some people say was over 1 million people, that's a lot of folks. Where are you going to get the food? How are they going to drink? We're out in the desert, remember. And over and over and over again, God provided supernaturally for them. And if God could do that for so many people out in the desert, do you think he could do that for us? A whole lot less harder for us than for them. He provided rock or water out of the rock for them to drink. And when you think about that, I used to think it was a little trickle coming out of a rock. Moses hit it, water come out, and they all drank. Multiply that times a million people to drink out of a little thing. It'd be kind of like you in Walmart waiting for a cash register person to open up so that you can go through. There's always a wait at Walmart. But that little trickle that I used to think about was actually a big old river that come out of the rock, maybe over a cliff or something to that effect. And so this big old river is out in the desert, and all the people had to do was line up and drink out of it. Makes more sense that way anyway. But even with God's supernatural provisions, they still complained. They still grumbled. They longed for the food that was back in Egypt. And God literally provided for them bread, manna from heaven, enough for each day. And they still grumbled and complained. As we think about his provision in unexpected ways, think about this for a moment. Ask God to provide for us in whatever way he deems fit. Don't grumble against God's supernatural, unexpected ways. And how may we do that? Think about your work maybe for a moment. You have a job. Maybe it's different than what you had expected it to be, or maybe what you had hoped for it to be, and so you're starting to grumble a little bit. Don't always wish for something different. And maybe don't always constantly dream about being somewhere else doing something else. God has provided a means to be able to live. Maybe the job description changed and you're frustrated now. The challenge is to be present. Give all to your current job. And the Bible tells us, in all things be thankful, right? For even in that moment of frustration, maybe weeks or months of frustration, be current there. And it doesn't mean that you don't dream, that you don't think about doing something else, but at least be present in your work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So he may not always provide the way that we expect him to, but he will always provide. And number two, God provides more of himself. One of our greatest needs is for more of God. And this is something he gladly wants to give us. The Bible tells us, which of you, if a son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Father give unto you who ask him? And the primary pursuit that we should have in our life is to pursue God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul. And one of the verses that you have probably memorized is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. God provides himself for us. And we are to pursue that wholeheartedly. And in the Psalms it tells us, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Because when we delight in him, we want to please him. So some of our desires that we used to have, you're not going to have anymore because your heart has changed. And then you desire those things, and on occasion, unexpected ways, he just puts them right into your lap. Again, John Piper has asked, what is the deepest root of your joy? Think about that for a moment. What is your deepest root of your joy? What puts a smile on your face? Joy in your heart. Is it what God gives you? Relationships? Material possessions? Entertainment of some sort? The root of your joy? Or is it what God is to you? What is He to you? Creator, Almighty God, Redeemer, Savior, King of Kings. Does that put a smile on your face? Does that put joy in your heart? God graciously guides us into that greater realization that our ultimate need is for more of Him, more of His Word, more of His ways. And the third encouraging point is really the big one. God's ultimate provision for us has already been given. Has already been given. We certainly ask God for a lot of things, don't we? Our prayer requests. Think of your prayer list. And we can rattle different things off. But the greatest thing that we could ever receive from Him has already been given. And what God has given us in the gospel is light years ahead of every other provision and care that He does give us. When we trust in Christ, we have decisively secured for us every ultimately good thing from above. When we trust in Christ. And think about this provision that has already been given. Let's rewind history and go back to the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve are there. And they were sinless. And they were happy. And they had life all ahead of them. And then the devil comes along and tempts them. And they take the fruit and they eat of it. And they have sinned. And they get expelled out of the Garden of Eden. And yet God, in His mercy and in His grace, provided for them a garment of fur, a clothing. Where did He get that from? He had to kill an animal and then clothe them. And the Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so it's pointing to the cross, the shedding of blood. It started with Adam and Eve, but it just didn't jump from Adam and Eve and go right to the cross. In between there that we talked about with God's power. And the Israelites were down in Egypt. And God tells Moses, go bring them out of there. Moses says, I can't do it. Well, you follow my instructions and you'll be able to. And plague after plague after plague just was able to show God's power, that He was above all other gods. And the last plague was the death of the firstborn son. And Moses says, go to your homes, Israelites, and put blood over the door panels of your house. Kill an animal and sacrifice it. And when the death angel comes, it'll see the blood and pass over you. That's just what happens today when the death angel comes for us and he sees the blood of Christ shed abroad as we have accepted Him. He passes over us. All the way down in Egypt, and the Israelites were delivered. Same thing happened in our text this morning with Abraham and Isaac, where that ram was caught in the bushes and Abraham kills it and the blood is shed and there was the sacrifice. And now it brings us to Christ, where it tells us every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Father of lights. Jesus shed His blood on that cross for you and I. That when we receive that forgiveness of sin, the blood covers us. Our sin is forgiven, gone. So many people try to live their life good and please God and do what is right. And then they think, boy, I'm a pretty good person and I've done good. God's going to smile on me and open up heaven's gates and I'll be able to just stroll through. When I talk to people and they share that, I remind them, if that's what it takes to get into heaven, why did Jesus have to die on the cross and pay for the penalty of sin? If just being good is good enough, well, it's not good enough. And it's not going to open up heaven's gates. The wages of sin is eternal separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Jesus provided that for us. It's free. We have to receive it. And so he has given it to us. Salvation is the most important thing that God has provided for us, and we cannot save ourselves with our own efforts. You don't leave with anything else that God provides you. Remember that God has provided an avenue of salvation. But we have to receive that and apply it to our lives. That's the starting point. That's where the horses are lined up and the bell rings and they run down the track. Salvation is there. But as we're running down the track, God provides a whole lot more for us. He's not done providing. At the cross, that's the starting gate. He provides help for us to be able to live in this world, and the means of that help is the Holy Spirit of God that comes and lives within us to empower us to be able to live godly life, to be able to say no to the evil associates that would want to draw us away, no to the temptation of sin that would want to lead us down a pathway of destruction. And he provides material blessings for us. And he provides friends and family members for us to be able to fellowship with and enjoy. He's a great Heavenly Father. He is the God of Israel. Who is this? He is the provider for us. And he provides for us the strength from day to day, maybe moment by moment. We get emotionally sapped, don't we? It just sucks it out of us. Stress sucks it out of us. Sometimes you may not even feel like getting out of bed. But God provides strength through us, through his grace and through his mercy, through his hope. That, yeah, I can face today. I can face tomorrow. Because I have a God who loves me and cares for me and has provided for me strength and encouragement. Isn't that wonderful? Church family is a wonderful thing. Because when you're down and discouraged, and you're sitting next to somebody or just bump into somebody in the foyer who is vibrant and joyful, and in that moment has their life together, because the next moment they may not, but this moment they do, and they say, what's the matter with you? And you got, I rub up against some of my church family. And they think I'm a little strange. They say, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting some of your power. Just rubbing on them, loving on them. Get you all excited. Get you fired up. Because there are a lot of people that just want to drain you. Just suck the strength right out of you. But God is there, and he provides for us. And lastly here, God provides finally in eternity. As you read the Hall of Fame chapter in Hebrews 11, it gives different perspectives on God's provision. It says some people died in their faith and other people survived, but they were both commended for their faith. And God doesn't always provide and care for us, as I've mentioned, the way that we might expect it to happen in this life. And we can read and we certainly see how it all plays out in life. And as the apostles and the disciples were living for God and he was providing for them, that promise of protection and deliverance necessarily wasn't all of theirs all the time. Peter, James, John, Paul, eventually they were all martyred. At some point, when those chariots were around Peter in the jail and the chains dropped from his wrist and he was able to leave jail And he says the church was praying for him. At another time, he got martyred. God wasn't sleeping. He wasn't slumbering. But it was Peter's time to go home. They viewed the gospel as a treasure not to be lost at any cost. They would not deny Christ. They lived for him. And during their season, nothing could touch them. Remember when Paul reached into the fire and the snake came out and latched onto him? What a sight that must have been with that snake dangling. And the natives were there thinking, when's he going to drop? And they watched and they watched and Paul never dropped. They said, oh, he must be a god himself. And then eventually, Paul did succumb to death, being martyred. Until God wants to take you home, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Our times are recorded. Boom, boom. We have the responsibility of being able to live life the way God wants us to live it. And it certainly brings blessings. And remember, this life is fleeting. This life is fragile. It's a vapor, James says. It's only here for a little while. Then we have our eternal home to look forward to, our next life, the age to come. And in thinking about that and the provision in our prayer requests, we may not receive 100% healing the way that we expect it to be healed in this life. But there will be perfect healing in eternity. No sick people, no hospital visits, no tubes coming down the pole, no prescriptions to take. That's what we have to look forward to. Some days God's provisions and care may seem distant. Where is he? Why hasn't he shown up? Well, we long for our world to come to that place where the raging stops, our doubts stop, and that we could be at peace. But ultimate peace is only going to happen in one place. Ultimate peace. And our hearts ache under the pressures of this life, doesn't it? But it's only because we weren't made for this world. Listen to this. We are sojourners, pilgrims, aliens in this earth, this world. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I hope you have been called out of darkness already. Wrapping this up. Who is this God of Israel? He is holy. He is all-powerful. He is the protector. He is the provider. What a God we serve. We serve an awesome God. And he is certainly worthy of our worship this morning, tomorrow morning, the next morning, and the next morning. Every day, he is worthy of our worship. Because he is the God of Israel. He is our God. He is the God who loves you, every one of you. And some of us are pretty unlovable at times. But that doesn't scare him off. He is the God who wants you to spend all of eternity with him. He's done everything possible, other than maybe bend your arm. God's not going to bend your arm. You don't have to knock and say, God, here I am. He opens the door. And you confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Woo! Father, thank you, God, for your provisions for us. Everything. You provide the air that we breathe. You provide water for us and food for us and material possessions for us. You provide family and friends for us. You provide salvation for us. You provide your presence for us. Help us, dear God, to love you and to pursue you. Lord, there are a lot of distractions in the world that would want us to be able to go after those things. Help us to pursue you, not to be distracted, but to love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and be prepared just to spend all of eternity with you. If you're here this morning and you haven't made that commitment to Christ, oh, please do so. You'll never regret it. You can pray a simple prayer. Father, forgive me for my sin. I turn my back on sin. I want to receive Christ into my life. I trust what he has done on the cross of Calvary. I want his blood to cover me. And I want to live for you until I can come to be with you. Fill me with your spirit. Save me today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and close with 457. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
I will sing. I start to hear it. Father God, help us to indeed sing those mercies of the Lord forever. The world would want to suck the strength out of us, suck the joy out of us. But help us to be rekindled, fired up, encouraged through the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for my church family, dear God. Thank you for little Luke G. Kelvitis being dedicated today. Lord, help us to live for you until we can come to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.